It's the UNLV Spring Showcase, live from the campus of UNLV. Brought to you by Finley Toyota and Best Mattress. Here are your hosts, Steve Cofield and Caleb Herring.
Music's pumping. Good energy here. Looks like we're going a little longer. A little longer than anticipated. Two 25-minute halves. And Tony Sanchez not seeing everything he wants to see so far. Caleb Herring is here. It's Steve Cofield. It is the Rebel Football Spring Showcase at Peter Johan. I'll tell you, when they do this again next year, and it's a good crowd here, absolutely come out. Because how often, Caleb, do you get to watch high-level football on the field? Nothing really blocking your view. You're raving earlier. You're like, hell, my view is great.
Yeah, this is crazy. I can see everybody's number. I'm right here. You know, this is as good as being on the sideline. It's awesome. You can hear everything. The music's pumping. Got the barbecue grill going in the background. It's like the 4th of July out here for, you know, these fans, and bring the kids out. It's a family-friendly event. Coach Sanchez said he filtered it a little bit for us. So, I mean, it's a good time. If you're a fan of football and a fan of a good time and want to be a part of the Rebel process next year, come out to the spring game. It's a great experience.
So they've just wrapped up the scrimmage portion, two 25-minute halves. We can grade it a little bit. We weren't out here to do play-by-play today. Told you about some of the big plays, but we'll get into the offense and the defense in just a couple minutes as Tony Sanchez now talking to his guys right after the scrimmage, finishing up here. We got into the conversation earlier. Well, first, before we get to that, I wanted to mention I was teasing that someone was making some big plays down the stretch. I don't want to go crazy because this is what we do in the media. This is what fans do sometimes. It's the love of the backup quarterback syndrome.
Yeah.
And that was the twos out there on defense.
Yeah.
But the look we got today at Kenyon Oblad, pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to work with there.
That is a hopeful future at best when you look at him.
I mean, tell me if I need to pump the brakes.
I absolutely don't think so.
I was like, well, he looked pretty poor. He did not look like a kid who's gotten here early, straight from high school.
It looked like he's been here for, you know, a year at least. You know, like maybe he had a redshirt year under his belt at least. His confidence and his level of comfort in the pocket is something you don't see from freshmen. I think very often. That's personally, and you know what I've seen from others as a freshman, it's a nerve-wracking experience to be in the college pocket for the first time. He didn't seem to have that nerve, and he couldn't deliver the ball. We saw a couple of lasers. He had a touchdown pass to Drew Techman on a skinny post route that he stepped into and threw with the confidence of somebody that's done it before. And I think, obviously, it's Armani's job, and we're not speculating anything like that. But you got to be optimistic about your future when you look at a guy as a freshman stand in and deliver like that.
Well, I'll tell you, and Kathy Olivia made the point about, you know, the importance of the quarterback position, and she's a women's basketball coach, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. We like to bust on KO a little bit. It looks like they have three quarterbacks for sure. Marco Grayson is also a developmental guy. It would be really nice if you've got a guy who looked pretty comfortable today in practice, in Kenny Noblad, if you can actually redshirt him. That says a lot about the program.
Oh, yeah, because then you can basically secure the future. If you can have a guy that's redshirted, you know, kind of waiting in the wings, taking some reps, doing what he needs to. If he's, you know, he seems willing to do it. He's a local kid. He's from around here. He knows what to expect from the community. So if he's willing to stay around and kind of wait in the wings and wait for his turn in the limelight, that is a definite plus for your future, because that's something you don't have to worry about in future years as far as recruiting. You don't have to go out every year and be like, oh, we need a quarterback. Armani's the only one we have. That situation is kind of put to bed now because you have a future at quarterback and you can focus on other areas, maybe some more important areas that need more developmental time because you got somebody in your back pocket.
So we got both of the units separate now, huddling up. This is just a guess. You know, it's really based on your analysis. First, Tim Skipper talking to the defense. What do you think he's talking about?
Well, I think
what'd you see in the game?
What I saw in the game was a defense that wasn't necessarily playing full speed. And I think that has a lot to do with what they've learned and the process of learning a new system. So I think what he's telling them in that huddle, in that little gathering, is that you guys got to stay in your playbook. I think he's proud of the effort. There was great effort. There was a lot of guys getting to the ball, and with you know, not being all the way full out like we talked about earlier against your own teammates, there was a lot of hustle and effort going on around there. But a couple of missed assignments that we saw throughout, scattered throughout the day. Nothing really huge. But then he's going to be hanging his hat on some of the big plays. There was a couple turnovers that they forced, the interception, a forced fumble, that he's going to be proud of and pointing to as things to hang your hat on. But he's also reminded them over the summer, don't put your playbook on that top shelf and forget about it. You're going to need to be, you know, in the film room whenever you get a chance, on your own time, obviously, with the limitations of coaching in the offseason. But encourage him to get in the film room, get in your playbook so that you can know what you're doing, so you can go full speed and give that full effort every snap, every time. Conversely, on the opposite side, the offensive side, I think.
Hey, what do you think Barney Cotton's telling his guys?
I think he's telling them that they should be a little bit disappointed in themselves. I think there was some, especially speaking about the receiving group, a lot of drop passes. Too many drop passes for any day.
I was surprised how many receivers seemed to be not unaware but uncomfortable with the zip on the ball.
Yeah.
After a year, at least a year, and it's more than that, really, of working with Armani.
And that's really what it looked like to me. It was uncomfortable with the heat coming on the pass. And I think maybe Armani was a little bit more lively today. Maybe that's what it was. But it seemed like they were uncomfortable with the ball coming at
well,
them.
That's what's coming in September. Yeah, it's coming before that. But in game situations,
coming September, it's
you know
coming
what
on
he throws.
Roll. Yeah. So I think the drop passes is definitely a cause for concern. Also, maybe the first time being live in a long time since pretty much the season ended, where when you catch the pass, you're going to get hit. Like, they're coming to tackle you. Sometimes that gets in the heads of the receivers. And then they call it the itis. We used to call it the itis when I played. One receiver sees another receiver drop the pass, and now everybody's thinking about not dropping the next pass because you don't want to be the next guy getting ripped on the sideline for dropping a pass or, you know, letting the team down. So a little bit of that going on. But on the other side of that, the offensive line should be proud of what they did. They opened some huge holes. Xavier Campbell in the running game really got going for some big chunk plays that we've grown accustomed to seeing. Didn't see too much from Lex today. I mean, he probably didn't get as many reps for, you know, preserving health reasons and stuff like that, but did a great job of opening holes. And then also the younger guys getting their chance to get some reps, moving the ball and moving the chains. That's always good to see if you're the offensive coordinator, to see your young guys come out and execute at a high level. That's huge, and it speaks to, you know, the way they're receiving and with, you know, holding the information in. Hopefully you want to send them off, like we said earlier, into the summer, keeping that positive vibe going and knowing that they need to stay on top of the playbook.
You surprised the O-line played that well, considering, you know, how many injuries they have right now? And, you know, there's going to be some adjustments certainly in the fall before they finalize the positions.
I am. It's I mean, now with a grain of salt, that they were going against a little bit of a depleted defensive line. That's not going to be, if we're basing it off of who's going to be coming in the fall. The D-line is not as nearly as strong and as much of a problem as they're going to be facing on a regular basis throughout the season. But I am surprised. There was no, if I remember correctly, there was no procedural penalties on the offense as far as jumping off sides, nothing like that. There was a couple of flags on the field, but none on the offensive line, no holding or anything like that I saw. But they did a great job. I think working as a unit, I am a little bit surprised. Usually spring ball is a little bit more sloppy than that offensively. But like I said, like we talked about, having 4 years under your belt, Coach Cotton was the offensive line coach for the past 3 years. So, you know, he has special emphasis on the blocking schemes and all that type of stuff. So that consistency and that experience that they've had under him and an older group, juniors and seniors, doing a good job of just coming and executing. That's kind of the benefit of being around for a long time.
Would that be the highest grade, the efficiency that you'd give?
Absolutely.
You know, now without talking about individuals, the fact that it was crisp and there weren't penalties?
Absolutely. I think spring ball especially, being able to hang your hat on something like that, that's a big-time worry that you don't have to worry about. A lot of the times coming in to a spring game, it's chaos. There's penalties all over the place. Like we saw, you know, some procedure penalties, holding, stuff like that happens a lot in spring games. But to come out and have a clean, for the most part, spring game is a huge thing to hang your hat on if you're coaching staff and players also. Executing not too many bonehead plays where I didn't see Coach Sanchez explode too much. I mean, we joked about it earlier about the fact.
Could get ugly today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, could get ugly. But, yeah, he was as he always is, intent and focused on detail. So he's going to have something to say. He's going to have something to criticize and critique at the end of it. But we didn't see an eruption on the field. So that goes a long way to saying that these guys executed at a satisfactory level for the most part.
More grades on the spring practice, the Rebel spring showcase. We'll come back here to Peter Johan Field in just a couple of minutes. Caleb Herring alongside. He is the color voice of the Rebels on radio. I'm Steve Cofield. We'll see if we can hunt down some of the coaches as we wrap things here on a lovely Saturday afternoon as we will start to look ahead to the 2018-19 Rebel football season.
Live from Peter Johan Field on the campus of UNLV, it's the UNLV Spring Showcase, brought to you by Finley Toyota and Best Mattress. Here are your hosts, Steve Cofield and Caleb Herring.
Yeah, back here wrapping it up, last 15 minutes or so. So I thought that was good, but you know what? My opinion doesn't matter. Caleb had some nice things to say about the Spring Showcase, but now the boss is up in the booth, Tony Sanchez. He's smiling. He seems pretty chill. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm chill.
Okay.
It was a good spring. Now, you know what? It's like any other practice. There's some good things and things you want to get better at. But, you know, the multitude of guys, we got reps today, you know, seeing four quarterbacks run in and out, you know, seeing the run game be, you know, successful without guys like Lexington Thomas, Evan Owens, and Charles Williams back there, you know, it was a big deal. We struggled catching the ball early on. The frustrating thing was early on, Armani was on the money. And we just, man, we did a bad job of catching balls. And so you never really saw that flow. But, you know, looking at Armani, I'd love to see that. I know those guys will come on. Didn't have Darren Woods today. Didn't have Keys today. And then we've got some young guys who are going to come in and have to push these guys. Defensively, I thought we did a good job of flying around. The ones look good. Obviously, we need to continue to build depth. Some of those guys I introduced at halftime are going to be a big part of that. Some of those big D linemen, you know, some of those secondary guys that are still coming in. So we're real excited about, you know, the possibilities on defense. And I think Coach Skip's done a tremendous job with that group and just building confidence and letting them communicate at a higher level.
Well, like, you talked about defense. Flying around, obviously, is huge, the energy and the effort on defensive side. How has it been with this transition? I mean, a new system defensively. How are the guys retaining the information and putting it on the field? What, going from film room to on the field, how would you assess that so far?
Well, one of the things that Coach Skip's done a really good job is, you know, sophisticatedly simple. I mean, we're doing some really, really good things, some pattern match things, but we're not doing too much. I think in the past, we may have had too big of a menu, and some of the times you saw those guys struggling, just thinking through things too much. We want to simplify it. We want to play faster. You know, we want to be aggressive in some of those, you know, blitz packages. We didn't do a ton of those today. Kind of kept it simple out there. But he's got some good stuff in there. But the most important thing is those guys just being confident, playing better in space, and just communicating.
How difficult is the balance for the defense? Because clearly they're at the disadvantage because, yeah, they want to hit, but they can only hit to a certain level. So, I mean, you want to grade them, but they're facing an uphill battle than the fact that they can't annihilate the opponent.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, they've done a good job of being physical throughout spring ball. And, you know, it's a more mature group, so when you're able to tell them, hey, it's time to go, they've done it, and, you know, time to thud up and tag off, they've done it. But, you know, again, I think it's a physical group, and they've done a really good job throughout the process.
And we joked about it earlier today when we came out speaking about physicality. We saw Armani was the only one with a black jersey.
So
how good is it for a defense to have an actual live quarterbacks out there where they're not always pulling up
and stopping. They love it. You know, and this is the first year that we've ever had, you know, our number one guy not go live at all. But, you know, when you have a dual threat guy, if you're going to run this type of offense, you know, and you get a guy like Armani who, you know, played in the majority of the games last year, rushed for over 800, you know, threw for a bunch of yards, took some hits, missed the game because of, you know, some things. And you know, why add some extra stuff on it? It's like Lex, okay? He's been a starter now for darn near 3 years. He's got thousands of yards rushing. You know, the tread on the tires, you know, starts to come off a little bit. So part of your job as a head coach with certain guys is managing that. So no reason for Armani to take shots. He's going to take plenty week one.
What did you think of the O-line?
You know what? It was good. Again, you know, we have there's a couple guys banged up there. Julio Garcia's got his first live reps of the whole spring today. First time he practiced was today, which was good. You know, having Matt Brayton now, some you know, Caldwell's been about 70%. I thought they did a good job. The pass pro looked good, did a good job running down the field. We get some of these guys healthy, we get them back, you know, into the fold. Justice Olawashon, obviously earlier in the year had a knee injury. He'll be back in August. He's ahead of schedule. So I think with those guys coming back, some of the new guys coming in, I think for the first time, we have a chance to have 8 or 9 guys that can actually go out and play, and we'll use those guys to spell the old line. In the past, it's been 5 to 6. Guy or two goes down, and all of a sudden, you're thin in spots. I think we have a chance to be pretty good at every spot.
Now, how much shuffling do you anticipate before the season? And then you mentioned 8, 9 guys. It looks like you've got a lot of pieces that can move. You got flexibility too, right?
We do. And a bit that you saw Singer playing guard today, and then you also saw him play center, which is a good thing. You know, Caldwell now has a year starting as a tackle and a year starting as a guard. He can flip-flop. You've got Jacobson, who plays right tackle and left tackle, and he's played center before. So once you have guys for 3 years, they've been around for a long time, you've moved the pieces around enough in practice and things like spring, it gives you a better opportunity when a guy goes down to stay solid on game day.
We didn't talk about Acosta much during the game.
That's good because he wasn't getting beat. You don't talk about the O-line
right.
much, right?
No, I mean, he mentioned all the different players who played center. That was the guy who was supposed to play center last year.
He was supposed to be our starting center. So we brought him in. He had the injury, and then from there it was kind of a crazy deal. Zach went in, then Zach got in, and then we ended up with Jandre in there who, you know, fought real hard and did a good job. But Sid's a good player. I mean, he takes us kind of back to that Will Kreitler type deal. They're different guys, but he's a big, strong, physical guy. Every day he gets more and more comfortable. He's got a chance to be an all-conference type guy.
So speaking about up front, both sides of the ball, especially offensively, obviously I'm more concerned with them. I'm a quarterback. I like the bigs up front.
There you go.
But both sides of the ball, we talked about it a lot today throughout the broadcast. The size has just exponentially increased over the years that you've been in. And we saw with the introduction some more size to come in the fall. How big has that been for the guys up front?
It's huge. I mean, we're not just bigger, we're longer too. I mean, we're getting longer, we're getting bigger, and it just all comes down to recruiting, you know, and you got to keep filling the coffers, and if you do it enough, then eventually you're going to see what you saw today. And, you know, obviously, you know, we got to get it done on Saturdays, you know, in the fall, but, you know, we're bigger and more physical, we have more depth, you know, we're longer and all that stuff. You know, you keep on doing it and stay in the course and, you know, and bringing in the right guys, it's going to give you a chance to have a lot of success. We've been close. You know, we got to be a little bit better in certain situations. There's a lot of wins out there.
Spring Showcase just ended. Tony Sanchez sitting down with ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM with Cofield and Caleb Herring. How much different is the spring and the game / showcase in this year versus the first couple of years? Not only the bodies and the size you have, but in terms of teaching. Like, you're still teaching, but you've got so many veterans compared to what you walked into.
Yeah, it's not – I mean, they know the routine. You know, they're the majority now. They're not the minority of guys. I mean, veterans have been around. They kind of know the routine. I mean, it's like walking out to watch any of our practices. I mean, I could disappear. The coaches could disappear for half the practice, and it would continue to run. They know where to go. They know what to do. They know how to communicate. And, you know, days like today, I mean, you didn't see personnel issues. You didn't see three guys running on and two guys running off. And a couple of years ago, we had a lot of that. Now, you know, again, with the older guys and the veterans and the level of comfort the guys have with the system, you just see a lot of maturity out there in the execution and the way things are handled. And again, it's not even the plays being run, it's just the sideline management, the communication from the sideline to the field, and, you know, getting back to the huddle, seeing good huddles and good breaks, and just all the processes that come into to making a well-disciplined football team.
With that being said, are you pleased with the way that it wasn't chaotic as most spring games are, that it wasn't so chaotic, both in terms of the procedural stuff as far as substitutions and things like that, but there wasn't a lot of laundry on the field. I know there was a couple, but a lot of the like offsides and false start, you see a lot of that in spring games too. Yep. Were you pleased with the fact that there wasn't much of that going on?
I was, you know, and that's one of the biggest things, you know, we talk to our coaches about is, you know, you in the film room, when you're sitting there an individual, every time you see your guy commit a penalty, if it's a hold, don't let him get away with it. You know, don't let a corner think he made a good play when he's grabbing the back of a jersey. You know, when an offensive lineman, you know, does, you know, pass pros and the guy doesn't get to the quarterback, but he held, you've got to hold him accountable every single day so it doesn't show up on game day. So they did a really good job of coaching that up and being on those guys throughout the course of the spring, and then, you know, it translated in what you saw today.
So what are your expectations for this coming season?
Well,
it's gotta be another step, right?
It's gotta be another step. And, you know, again, you know, I didn't want to go back and talk about it, but I mean, there's three games out there that I can't get over how, you know, we weren't successful in those situations. And, you know, that's an 8-win season. You know, I'm not going to put a specific number on it, but do I feel like we can get to the postseason? Absolutely. I mean, I feel like we have a great opportunity to get ourselves into the unscheduled game, something we, you know, has been eluding us for the last couple of years. I think, you know, a lot of it's going to depend on staying healthy, and being able to show up and finish in the fourth quarter. We've done a good job, you know, with the last bunch of years of getting ourselves into striking distance at the end of football games. We got to show that we're mature enough to go out and finish it. So I have high expectations for this team. And I really think that, you know, again, we stay healthy, we execute at a high level, we're selfless, you know, we play mature, you know, we get over some of the obstacles that are inevitably going to happen to every football team. There's a great opportunity for this team to have a phenomenal season.
one or two things you pinpoint in some of those second halves, especially in those three games, that you know, looking back, you go, hey, this is what we got to clean up?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you know, specifics, you know, you look at game one last year, and a lot of it came down to penalties, you know, turnovers, and, you know, I mean, really, that's what it was, penalties and turnovers, which were completely on us, you know, getting 81-yard scoop and score for a touchdown, you get a false start that results in a fourth down where you miss a field goal, and another one where you miss a field goal on a false start, and a fumble kickoff. I mean, that's just a maturity deal, and then you get into games like Air Force when you got a 30-7 lead. Well, it's not all on the defense. It's, you got to get some first downs. You get three or four more first downs in that game, you probably win that game, you know. You score one more touchdown, you win that football game. You know, defensively, you got to get stops in there. And then the last game of the season, you know, we're 100% on fourth and less than two on the year. And then when it matters the most, on a fourth and one inside the 10-yard line, you don't get it. Well, that's the difference between going to a bowl game and not. So, again, you know, we're more mature. Part of that's, you know, some injuries and where you are up front. I think we're past that point right now. But, you know, a lot of it's confidence. It's what's happening in between the years. And I think if our guys, it's not just me saying it and me rah-rahing it. It's these guys believing it. I can believe it as much as I want, but if they don't, it makes no difference. So if they believe it, we got a shot.
And, folks, one other thing you missed if you weren't out here is early on, and I'm not sure if this is the way these things are structured, but there were a lot of special teams work early on, a lot of red zone work early on before you split and you really started scrimmaging.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things, you know, we've, you know, when you look percentageally, you know, we have a really good red zone offense, but then when you look at percentage of field goals and touchdowns, that's where we got to improve. So, you know, if you, again, we're a little bit better in the red zone. You look at the BYU game, we're a little bit better in the red zone there. That's another game you have a chance to win. Doesn't mean you're going to win it, but you have a chance. So I think, you know, just emphasizing those things is going to translate into the guys understanding how important it is.
Coach, a big change in college football this year, speaking about special teams, which was a bit of an issue at times last year, the rule change. How has coaching that changed your strategy or changed your philosophy as far as it is attacking in the special teams? Has that been something that's been harped on much during this spring game, or is it something that you're waiting?
Do us a favor. Explain what the change was with the kickoffs.
Well, for kickoffs, for those of you that didn't hear the change, now on kickoffs, if a kickoff is kicked and it doesn't make it to the end zone, but it's from the goal line to the, I believe it's a 20-yard line or 25, you can now fair catch a kickoff, and by fair catching it, you will start your possession at the 25-yard line as if
it
was
a crazy change.
A touchback.
That's a big change.
I think the rule committee still has to certify that.
Okay.
I don't think that's one of the proposals
right now,
but that changes the whole game. As a traditionalist, it kind of like, oh, man, I mean, there's some guys that make a living because of what they do in the return game.
Absolutely.
You know? You know, so as a coach and the traditionalist, the guy that loves the game the way it is and wishes we could go back to all the original rules, but I understand why we can't. You know, you look and go, like, that's going to drastically change the game. Because kicker, what happened is, you know, you got these guys that are so good now. They can drop the ball on the 2-yard line outside the numbers. And, I mean, it's a big advantage you can do that. That's probably where your biggest collisions are. So, again, I'm not 100% for it. But I think if you're trying to figure out ways to lessen collisions in the game, that is the biggest collision play. So, I don't know, man. I'm on the fence on that one.
September 1st. At USC, I'm sure it seems like right around the corner.
Love it.
You're going to take, what, like 2 days off, day and a half off here?
Hey, we're going to get right back after it, you know. But we do have a golf tournament on Tuesday, so
okay.
Come on out.
What are you doing the rest of the day?
The rest of the day, I'm going to have the staff come on over. We're going to have a little barbecue, and we're going to hang out a little bit and just relax, and then we'll get back to work on Monday.
Good deal. Well, we appreciate you having us out here.
Always good to be here, guys.
There you go. Tony Sanchez, we got about a minute before we
– And go Knights, right?
Man.
They're rolling.
What a run.
I'm going up there on Monday night.
We talked about it in the we can mention it here in the final minute. We talked about the Knights changing expectations around town for everyone in sports, but also kind of proving the point that if you win, our fans here are freaking crazy. They will show up.
I tell you what, it's been fun to watch, man. Vegas is on fire right now with the Knights. It's good stuff.
Man, Kalan is a hell of a coach, and now they're up 2-0 as they get ready to take on the Kings coming up on Sunday, and then again on Tuesday. You can hear that over on our sister station, Fox 1340 and 98.9 FM. Final thoughts? Goal accomplished, right? You said it was crisp.
Yeah, it was a great, in my opinion, great spring game. Good way to send the kids off in the summer, hopefully with some goals to achieve before they come back in fall.
No doubt about it.
By the way, we went full sports radio in raving about your true freshman quarterback. Isn't that total sports radio where you're like, wow, look at the
–
He's
amazing.
The third string. We got a quarterback controversy. Tony's going to be answering that in the fall. All right, thanks to Best Mattress. Thanks to Finley Toyota. Thanks to everyone here at UNLV for setting us up. Mark Seidel back in studio. Clay Baker, awesome job on the field. Angel with the controls out here. We'll see you next time right here on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Have your voice heard. Hit up the Finley Kia text line at 69187. Finley Kia on Sahara, just west of Decatur. The Finley Kia text line, where listeners go to speak their mind. Text 69187.